Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Masich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on X at hashtag Kangas, Instagram hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight I welcome back Jesse to go through a bit of player movement. It sort of seemed to happen yesterday, Wednesday. I was waiting for more player movement today, but nothing happened today. Very quiet day. But there's lots to go through. Zach Fisher, Dylan Stevens, Harley Reid, are we going to get him? What are we going to do with all these picks in the first round now? We own the top end of the first round and the back end of the first round. Are we going to stockpile them up and get another player or another two players? Or what are we going to do? Anyways, I'll bring on Jesse to talk about it.
Jesse, welcome back. A lot to go through, so let's not waste any time and get into it. I said we were going to be active during the trade period, and only 4 days in, and we're getting some deals done, to say the least. So we'll go through each of them, and we'll start with Dylan Stevens and the trade for him. So it's pick 43 this year, and our assistant's pick next year, which will be around 25 after the NGA and father sons and so forth. And we get pick 25 in this year's draft, which we've already traded, which we'll go to soon. What do you think about Dylan Stevens? Where do you think he could fit in the 2024 team?
Yeah, look, so I guess Dylan Stevens, if you look at him, he's a winger. For anyone who doesn't know him, and I don't blame you if you don't know him, he hasn't had a massive career to date. I think, yeah, he's an outside player. He's a winger. He's renowned for his elite skills at a younger level. He hasn't shown that yet at AFL level. I think he's going at something like 66% or something by foot. So, he's got a bit of work to do. I think in his career, I've got his stats here, average 12 disposals in his first year, 8, 15, and then 13. So not great numbers. Last year, though, in the finals, he had a pretty good season. So towards the end of the year, obviously, the qualifying final, I think it was, he had 18 disposals and a goal. Had a goal the week after and only the 11 disposals and then only 12 in the grand final. But towards the back end of that year in particular, had a couple games over 20 and was starting to show some signs. And he's just one of those players that wasn't going to go in the Sydney midfield. It's very deep. They've got a lot of wingers already. In our team, we've got Bailey Scott established on one wing and the other wing is up for grabs. So he'll be one of those players that comes in and wants to take that position. He's got some good pace, some good run. Hopefully he can hone down on those skills that he was very renowned for as a junior. Because I think he adds something a little bit different. And we'll talk about the other guys in a moment, but you can definitely see what we've tried to do in this trade period in terms of the pace.
Yeah, definitely. I've just looked at his footy, what you're looking at, his footy wise stats, and he's out of contract till 2026. So he's obviously signed a 3-year contract already. And
you think is about right. Yeah. Like he was a top 10 pick. I think it's worth the punt on our end. And if you look at the trade in its whole, we effectively traded our next year's first, or end of first, which you're right, will end up early mid 20s for a pick this year that might end a couple picks behind that. And then we've given up almost nothing for him in realistic terms. So I think it's a really good deal, even if he doesn't come off, to be honest, because you've really just given away that late pick for him. And the other one is just getting a pick forward this year as opposed to next year, which we weren't going to have anyway.
No, exactly right. So, yeah, no, pretty smart business there. And like you said, it's pretty much low risk for possibly a high reward. I think you'll definitely at least play a role, I think, for the team. Zach Fisher is the other one. So pick 21 and 25, and we get pick 17 in this year's draft. So we've got our 4 spots from 21, and Carlton get pick 25 out of that. Happy with that one?
I am. I'm really happy with that one. In terms of Fisher, he's been an interesting one as well. He's played a little bit all over the place in his career, played a little bit as that forward role, half back a little bit, wing. He's 25, so he'll be 26 next year. So he's at that, he's not going to improve a massive amount more. But if you look at some of his stats, in his second season, which was 2018, he averaged 19.8 disposals. In his third season, he had 17.5. He then went down for the next two seasons. 2022, he averaged 18. And this year, in the games he has played, he averaged 20. He's got some solid numbers. In terms of what position he's going to play, it'll be interesting. I did see he made a comment today in the media thing he did around playing. He enjoys playing halfback. There's a part of me that says he probably goes to halfback and relieves Sheasel from playing that role potentially. But, yeah, look, I think he probably plays the halfback role and comes in around that spot. But he's got a lot of diversity. He can play a lot of different positions, which is fantastic. And again, even if that one doesn't come off, you've given away two picks in the 20s to effectively get a pick 17. This draft, it looks like it really drops off after the top 10 to 15. Yeah. So I think it's worth a go at it.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at his last four games of the season before he's dropped for finals, he got round 21, 32 touches, round 22, 24 touches, round 23, 28 touches, round 24, 24 touches. So he certainly got a lot of ball playing that rebounding defender role. He was on the Gettable podcast today. They did an interview with him, and he's already spoken to Clarkson about possibly being a rebounding defender next year. So I think he is coming in. Look, I don't know if he shares it with Harry Sheasel as a rebounding defender. Oh, I assume he would. I don't know if Sheasel's going to move from that spot next year. But, yeah, look, a lot to like. A very highly skilled player. Certainly you look at his highlights and, there's some things he does that are really special. But I suppose it's just that consistency in his career that's probably hurt him a little bit. So, hopefully he can find a role for us in the back half.
Yeah, look, like you said, it probably is an interesting one. You can kind of map his drop-off in terms of disposals with, other players coming into the team. And they've brought in some quality midfielders, some quality halfbackers as well, Carlton. And that's kind of displaced him a little bit. But look, if you look at his season average versus his career average, I mean, he is up and he played, that position last, this year in particular is probably the role he's going to play a little bit going forward. His numbers were really, really solid. Probably the one thing he probably needs is a bit of just consistency. So we get him into a role, say that's the role we want you to play for us and give him games. Dylan Stevens is one of those ones that will come around the mark. Zach Fisher is one of those ones who will be best 22 for mine.
Yeah, I think so. We've got a pick from Gold Coast this year, pick 18, for the future first. That was a part of our assistance package. So that gives us picks 2, 3, 15, 17, 18, Jesse. It seems like we're going all in this year's draft, aren't we?
It's a bit of a war chest, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Yeah, look, it's been very astute. I've been very happy with what we've done thus far. People can complain a fair bit around what we received, and, that is a bit controversial. But it's a hell of a hand. It is a hell of a hand. You've got, 2 and 3 in particular, which are – there's a lot we could do with that. And then the fact that, you've got your 15, 17, 18, it gives you a lot of options. I think we all know that number 7 from GWS is definitely on the table. It sounds like they're open to a lot of options. I know there's been a lot of word around them trying to offload Haynes, who's on 1.2 or 1.3 million. We've obviously got some cap. We need some depth for a year or two. Could we get that? Geelong's been very vocal and I'm happy to get rid of their pick 8. So look, it is definitely one of those ones that we could push up with the hand that we have. Try and get as many top 10 as we can. It seems like this year in particular, the top 10 is very good. Outside of that, it's a little bit questionable. So the more we can get in that top 10 bracket would be fantastic. It's going to come down to how much we're willing to throw at the stumps for pick 1.
Yeah.
I've seen some really good arguments 2 and 4. Melbourne looks like they're pretty primed to have an attack at it as well. They've got, what, 6-11 at the moment. I think they might have one more, or they're trying to get one more. It's going to be very interesting to see what we do. I saw that we threw a couple offers at them that were pretty funny, and West Coast weren't too keen on taking those. I imagine we'll throw something decent at them.
Yeah.
But it won't be 2 and 3 like some West Coast fans are asking. If we threw 2 and 3 at them when we could have had pick one and decided to play a good game of football, I'd be ropeable. But no, look, I think we seem pretty switched on this year in terms of some of the stuff we're doing. So I'm pretty confident we're not going to do anything crazy like that. It's a tough one in terms of what you're willing to give up for that pick one. It depends how much you rate Harley Reid. I've seen him a bit. He looks fantastic, but a lot of the lads in the top 10 look fantastic. We didn't get the number one pick last year. I mean, forget about Cadman for a moment, but Ashcroft was clearly the best player. We took Sheasel. You know what? Ashcroft might end up being a Brownlow medalist, but I think I'm pretty happy with Sheasel and Wardlaw. Are you better off taking that 2-3, maybe condensing a couple of those other picks in trying to get 2-3-7 or 2-3-8 or even both if you could? But are you better off doing that than, you know, going for the ultimate prize potentially?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Look, I mean, there's no doubt we're going to make a play for Nick Haynes for that pick 7. It might be a case of, yeah, and we take, yeah, pick, we give them back pick 15 and try and go up to 7 to take his salary.
Potentially.
But would you do that, like, hypothetically?
I mean, yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I'm just looking at it at the moment. I mean, I'd much prefer to, you know, I'd much prefer to use 17 or 18. But I would. It depends how much of his cap we've got to pay. I mean, it's a lot.
Would you pay the full lot? I guess if they said, look, the only way we're going to do this is if you pay the full lot, like $1.2 million over the next 2 years.
I'd pay the $1.2 million if they give us pick 7 and we give them like pick 50. I'll pay them 800 or so, potentially, if they'll take, you know, 17 or 18. I'd like to keep that 15. I'd like to get as close as possible. There is still a few kids. I've looked at the draft order. I've got it in front of me as well. You know, there's a lot of kids that I think it look pretty good for us around that 10 to 15 mark. So, you know, and you'll have players adrift like every year they do.
Your gut feeling, what does it say? Do you think we'll get pick one?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think we will. My gut feel is we will. There's a lot of media attention this year. You've got the whole, you know, does he want to play in WA? Does he not want to play in WA? You have the, is North going to take Curtin? Are they going to, you know, are they even going to use pick one on him, on Reid? I saw Curtin liked a post about Reid staying in Victoria or about North. I don't think Curtin's overly keen to come here, even if... if Clarko went and saw him and enjoyed and, you know, like what he saw. So I think that he'll end up, at North Melbourne one way or another. That's my gut take on it. I think if I'm West Coast, I try and take as much as I can get for him. And look, they may make a decision and go, screw it, we will bank on the fact that North won't take Curtin and that we will take and we'll take Melbourne's offer. You know, Melbourne might offer a better offer than us or someone else might. And if I was a betting man, if I was West Coast, I'd take that. Like, if they're worried about Reid and they need multiple picks, take the best offer they can get, because there's no guarantee that we're going to take the players they want. It seems like we're fairly keen on a couple players near the top. So, and they're not necessarily, you know, Daniel Curtin. You know, we seem pretty keen on players like Dersma and Kobe McKercher. So, you know, that's the way we could go.
Yeah, I'm just looking at West Coast draft order. Now, they've got pick 119. They could certainly stockpile and try and get, you know, picks that I'm looking at actually 2024. I'll go to 2023 because there's a big gap between their first and second pick.
There is.
So, Because, yeah, I mean, they got pick 122 and 36. I mean, they got a chance to probably stockpile. And I don't know if they're serious about there's all sorts of reports. Sam McClure was sort of saying they're definitely not going to take him. Then in the WA media are saying, no, let's take him. He's a high-character kid. I mean, they could have a case of a Chris Judd. You know, like goes there for 7-8 years, might win him a premiership, and then come back home to Melbourne. I mean, that would be the best case scenario. So yeah, it's certainly an interesting play. I mean, he's a midfielder. Do we need him that badly, do you think?
Look, the thing about him is that they relate him to Dusty Martin. They go, he's a player who can play forward. He's got a strong fend off. I think in the Essendon VFL earlier this year, he actually might have played off the half back line.
Yeah.
So he's definitely got the ability to play in a range of, you know, different spots. So yeah, look, if he's available, you take him and you play him in any position. You definitely take him. Absolutely, you take him. So, yeah, look, I'd be going for him. I'm not in the it's him or bust. I definitely think, you know, you take him, but don't offer the world for him. There's enough players in that other mix that I'd be happy with.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I mean, you talked about, and this is what I've heard too, and I'm sure a lot of listeners have heard, that Zane Dersmer has come into consideration now with Colby McKercher. Zane Dersmer, from what I've seen, is a half forward. We've got about 100 half forwards on the list. Does that surprise you that he has come right up into, you know, like, what, pick 2 or 3 right now? Because he's probably a player that we also have got a plethora of in as far as our position goes. So should we be going for a player like that rather than a Nick Watson, who we probably more need?
Well, it's a really interesting point. I've always been on Watson all year, but if you look at the draft rankings at the moment, so the Herald Sun has Watson drifting to back to 6. I saw the draft order for ESPN had him right up like 10 or so. So some people have really got him drifting. I think some people are worried about his height. I mean, what is he? He's like 170 or 171 or something. So he's pretty short for an AFL player. Yeah, look, in terms of Dersmer, it's an interesting one. He's 189 centimetres. They've used the analogy on the Herald Sun that he is like a Rosie, so he can play forward. Seems like a bit more of a forward to me than that. He looks like a decent player, but you are absolutely right. We have a number of players who can play that forward mid. He's... The thing on him that I've read is they say he can, when he does go into the midfield, he can break the game apart. He's pretty powerful by foot, and he's very effective at all his disposals. So maybe a little bit more like a stringer type in terms of can kick goals, but can burst out. He's not the one I'd necessarily be going with if we kept 2 and 3. So it does surprise me a little bit, but I can see why clubs would be interested. I was slightly worried that he said he wanted to play with his brother at some stage, given that it looks like his brother is almost certain to end up at Essendon. And I think we've lost enough to Essendon this week.
I mean, we might as well talk about that. How tough has that been? Probably losing two players. I guess Todd Goldstein's really at the back end of his career. And Ben McKay. What do you make of that? Like those two boys are leaving for that club and probably... obviously, the compensation pick has been a big talking point with Ben McKay going for pick 3 as well.
Yeah, look, I think with McKay in particular, we knew that was happening. I think we all knew that. We talked about that all year. We knew it was happening pretty early. So we'll be disappointed. I don't know. I was pretty aware that we were going to get that pick 3 for a while out. So I wasn't overly concerned when he left, being brutally honest. You know, I thank him for his services, but I just don't think I think Goldie kind of gave away something when he was talking about Ben McKay, what type of player he can be. And he said, you know, he's had a lot of coaches and he's one of those players that needs, you know, consistency. And he talked about how some coaches want you to be play on one-on-one and some coaches want you to play zone. I don't think he fit really well into Clarko's game plan. I think when we saw him and Logue play together at times this year, it didn't particularly seem to work. We looked better when we played a Core and Mackay or Core and Logue. And yeah, I think it was pretty evident early on that Clarko wasn't a massive fan. That's the only way I can take it. I don't think that he was too concerned with losing him. I think he was pretty happy with having Logue as that intercept type. So, yeah, look, I wasn't too concerned about that. And the fact that we got pick three is a bit of a joke, but it is what it is and it helps us. So we'll take it. And in terms of Goldie, I mean, look, I think I said this earlier. A lot of people were pretty emotional, upset about it. I'm a little bit more practical. I kind of just accept that that's football. You know, I think we had told him, you're not going to get a heap of games next year. We need to put the games into the kids. That just is what it is. And he's made a decision to go somewhere where it looks like he'll play pretty early on with a bit of an injury cloud over Draper. So, look, I can't blame him for doing that either.
No, it's fair enough. I mean, it's part of free agency and football these days. It's players have got to look after themselves, and I was a bit surprised he only got offered a 1-year deal. Whether that comes with a coaching career after that, or something like that at Essendon.
I think it does. I'm pretty sure it does.
Yeah, I'd have to think so. Obviously. Yeah. Playing under Brad Scott for a number of years. Obviously, there's a relationship there. So maybe, yeah, could transition into a coaching role after, you know, he finishes up at probably next year, you'd have to think. He's probably only got 10, 15 more games left in him. Another name that's been mentioned that might be coming across and part of the Harley Reid deal, if that happens, is Jack Darling. Now, he's at the back end of his career now. Obviously, he'd probably just be a throw-in if we're going to throw a couple of high picks there. 31 years old, but would he be a good fit for someone like Larky if he is just a throw-in, I guess, the other picks, I guess, we're going to get rid of? And, you know, there might be like, let's say it's, pick 3, 15, 17 or something like that. Just as a hypothetical, and you get Jack Darling with that, would you be happy with that?
You'd have to see the deal in its entirety in terms of, you know, what does one and Darling actually equal. I don't know how much actually additional he adds. Look, obviously a fantastic player during his career, kicked 500 odd goals. You know, 2018 averaged 2.5 goals, 2019 averaged 2.5 goals, and that's in a team that had Josh Kennedy. Kind of gone downhill since the COVID years. I think the whole drama with him not getting the jab and then the club being a bit off him and not training well, he seems to have just gone downhill a little bit. Still averaging a goal and a half a game up prior to 2023, which is, you know, not terrible. But, yeah, he had a pretty average 2023. I think it's his worst year goal-wise since the first year of his career. So, look, he'd definitely come in and play a game because we're pretty light on tall forwards. But I wouldn't be offering much for him at all. I don't think he adds – in terms of the pick one deal, I wouldn't be – if that was trying to – I don't think it offers much in the way of steak knives. Yeah, if it was just him and I had to give up a pick for him, I wouldn't be offering much more. I'd maybe give away those two picks in the 50s. I wouldn't be giving away anything great for him because I don't know how much more he's got in the tank. I don't know how much more his body's got left. I don't know if he adds anything leadership-wise. I don't think so.
Fair enough. I mean, 277 games in his career. He has had a stellar career, obviously. Kicked a lot of goals. And like you said, this year was his last goal returned since his rookie year. So it's going back in 2011. So, I mean, you know, a handy sort of, backup or, you know, a second or third foil for Nick Larky, just in case Charlie Combin, he might go to the back line. We don't have any other options at the moment, so that could help there. So for a short-term solution for a year or two, maybe it might be Might not be a bad option, but yeah, I wouldn't be jumping through hoops to try and get him. That's for sure. If it's a throw in as part of the picks, yeah, because he's still contracted to West Coast for 2 more years, so I'm not too sure if they might be trying to salary dump him a bit. So yeah, at this stage, because yeah, he did show signs this year that he was regressing a bit. So yeah, we'll see how we go. Are you surprised we haven't been, you know, obviously small forward is a big weakness in the team, but there's been no mention of any sort of players or linked to any players that are a small forward at any other club. Are you surprised with that, considering we have been?
Yeah, I am. I thought we'd be, you know, we'd be at least having a punt at Gresham. I know he's going to end up at the Bombers, but, we need a small forward. It's been our Achilles heel for a while now. We've spoken about it for a while. We're obviously trying to get some defenders in. There's Pink, I'm sure, you know, we'll have a quick chat about later. Yeah. But, yeah, so there's, you know, there's Pink. I think we'll end up with Haynes. That's just my gut feel. I think that we'll definitely draft a defender in the draft. There's a couple around the 10 to 15 mark that I think would be a good fit. So we've identified that. We're going to bring in some young keys. It doesn't look like we're trying to really bring any forwards or key forwards in. All small forwards, which is interesting. It looks like Clarko is pretty happy with the forward line, which, it's an interesting one. It's an interesting one because we still don't have that pressure player. I don't see any of our smalls of dominating and taking away a game. I'd like to have seen us being a little bit more active in that. Even with the players we're linked to in the draft, none of them are necessarily small forwards.
No. Well, it looks like Nick Watson's sliding. From about a month ago, they were talking him up as potential pick 2 or 3. It looks like he's sliding down, and maybe the easy height and so forth. But there is talk that the Western Bulldogs went up the draft to try and nab him. So, yeah, well, I guess we'll see how we go there. There was talk about Charlie Spargo a few weeks ago, but obviously there's been no traction there. So, yeah, very, very interesting. Toby Pink, do you know much about him?
It's funny. I was talking to my mate, Essendon Sporter, about him the other day. And he goes, yeah, we did watch him play before. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, remember when you were getting all excited about Jason Horne-Francis and we were watching the Sandful final series? Yeah. So I have watched him play before. I just didn't know I was watching him play. Okay. I've looked at his highlights. He looks like he was a very solid player in the Sandful. They tried to get him to the club in the VFL a few years ago. Looks like a likely type. I'm interested to see what our backline looks like next year. You know, Logue's going to be out for a large portion of the year, so you've got Core, no Mackay. Kellen Dawson played the last game of the season and looked decent. I think the main difference is Kellen Dawson, he's not overly tall. I think he was something like, I think he's 196 or something, which is like a decent height, but against some of the, you know, he's not a big player and he doesn't play above himself. Do we know what height Pink is?
I think he's 193 centimetres.
Okay.
So not overly tall. That's pretty much all I could tell you about. 194 centimetres, 94 kilos. So
what that really means is, because what, Aiden Cole must be like, what, 188, 190? He wouldn't be over that, surely. I'd be surprised if he...
I think he's 196.
195, there's no way. He's wearing stilts.
Just looking at it.
Still, you don't, you've got three players around, you know, similar height to one another. You don't necessarily have a big bull key defender with Mackay out. So, yeah, look, it's interesting. I'm happy to get him into the club. You know, it's a zero, we've got zero risk to it. We're bringing him in as a listed free agent. Worst case, he plays VFL, which is good for our VFL team. So yeah, look, I'm all for it.
Definitely. Now, you mentioned Jade Gresham before. Any other players you'd like to see us go for? Possibly. I mean, we did talk about small forwards and all that sort of thing. But any like names come to mind that you know with you wouldn't mind having a crack at?
Not this year. I mean, I would have loved Grundy, but he's gone. Not this year in terms of the forwards. The only other smalls I know about who are actually look like they're going is Brockman from the Hawks, but he's definitely heading out west. So I don't think there's a lot available in that space for us to nab. I'd be going pretty heavily to the draft. What there is there's a pretty extensive list of free agents that are of a good quality coming out next year. So I'm probably in the bucket that because of the lack of talent we still appear to have on our list, for the most part this year, I'd be bringing in high-end draft picks, top 10 draft picks. I'd be bringing in a few players like Pink, who can come and play a role, you know, who will play a few games that will, if not, at least they're adding a lot of value to the VFL. But yeah, I don't think from a free agent perspective, there's a lot out there. The one thing that I have said all year is that I would have gone hard for one of the ruckmen going around. Port Adelaide look like they're going to at least lose one of their ruckmen. You've got Sweet, who's pretty keen to go over there, which is a bit of a weird choice. A bit like Fullerton going from Essendon to Melbourne. I think that's probably the worst rucking spot you can go in the league, because you're definitely not getting a game. I'd be very, very keen to bring in a ruckman from somewhere, because, as I've said, I'm not convinced whatsoever that with Goldie gone, that we're in a great spot next year. I don't have any confidence in Tristan. That's just me being blunt. I don't know. But that's the answer. And I don't know if that's even doable in terms of if we want to win games, meaning unless Callum Coleman-Jones has a really, really big off-season and becomes a much better ruckman, I still think we've got a gap there. I think potentially it could be one of those that Free ends up playing a few games, because I just think we've got a massive hole. So I think there's some quality ruckman going around. I would have really liked Sweet from the Bulldogs. Definitely would have been our best ruckman. From what I've seen of him, very good at VFL level, not getting a game because of English, which is understandable. There's a couple of probably gettable, but yeah, ruckman for me.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with that's Sweet. He's proven himself at VFL level, but I think Tristan Cherry dominated a couple of games he played at VFL this year too. So,
that is very true.
I mean, it's a very different thing. Yeah, it's a very different standard. What about Scott Lysette? Would I know he's at the back end of his career as well, but he's a big body, you know, a bit of a bruising type. For a couple of years, I don't think he'd be a bad option, at least as a backup.
Yeah, look, I'd be very open to that, because it definitely looks like he's going to be displaced. I still think we need a senior ruckman on the list who's happy to be there, they might play every game this year. They may not. All they need to know is it's a short-term contract. They're not going to be here forever. Someone at some stage is going to have to overtake them, or we're in a lot of trouble. Like you said, 31 isn't 32 until the end of next season, though. So, I think from watching him, he's probably got another 12 to 18 months in the tank. If he was open to it and wanted to come for a season, I'd absolutely take him. But I think that kind of says more around how little faith I have in our ruck division.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at Tristan Cherry, he took 2 marks in the last 4 weeks of the season. He did have a good preseason. I don't know if that's a broken leg really affected him for the second part of the year. So hopefully he can come back, and because his biggest weakness is around the ground. And if he's not plucking marks, then he's pretty much ineffective. He's quite competitive in the ruck. We're not going to doubt that. But, he's got to work on his around-the-ground stuff. Hamish Free, from what I've seen at VFL, you've probably seen a fair bit of him at VFL. Yeah. He didn't overly impress me, Jesse. I don't think he's up to the standard, to be honest with you. He wasn't dominating at VFL level. So he's taken 2 or 3 marks a game. And I know it's different conditions, VFL. It's very open and windy. It's not Marvel, but I just didn't see enough of him that he could do anything outside of being a tap ruckman.
Yeah, look, I tend to agree. I have no problem with them keeping him on the list. I was happy that we kept him on the list because I think we need the depth. And we don't really have a VFL ruckman now. Like, realistically, how many ruckmen have we got on our list? We've got Callum Coleman-Jones and Tristan, who you'd assume probably play either together if Coleman's playing down back. Or if he's not playing, then you have to play the two of them. So unless we had him, we're playing some VFL ruckman. So although I've got no issue having him on the list, it adds some depth. But yeah, look, I tend to agree with you. He might come out and surprise. He might play one or two games just because of the lack of talent in the ruck division. But yeah, he's not the solution. He definitely isn't the solution. There's other ruckmen out there. If you look at most other good teams in the competition, they've got probably... I think most of them have another ruckman who's solid who could get a game at our club. So there is ruckman out there. You've just got to pinch them.
Yeah, you just got to find one. I mean, you see, what's the Carlton ruckman's name? He came from Hawthorn. He's in the one ruck.
Oh, Pitney.
The name escaped me. And you've certainly got others, you know, that are hitting. You just got to find them, I guess. I mean, I guess a few other players that are in limbo as well, Jesse. Aiden Bonner, Kane Turner, Jack Marnie, still don't have contracts. What do you think about them? I think maybe Jack Marnie and Kane Turner might, because we've got no other small forwards that are, you know, they might stay on the list, but it would be with Toby Pink. I don't know if Aiden Bonner will stay on there.
Yeah, look, I tend to agree with you. I don't think Bonner will get renewed. That said, Clarko did play him in a few games this year where I thought Dawson was going to play, so they might keep him on. I guess they might keep him on for 1 year because probably for this year at least, you're probably playing Dawson, Core, and one of Bonner or Pink most weeks, aren't you? Like, we got rid of Young, so who's the third tall defender?
That's it at the moment. Core, Dawson. and Charlie Coleman might go back down there, but
you've got a bloke who's never played down there. You've got Pink who's coming out for the Sandful, so they might keep Bonner.
Depends on Nick Haynes if he comes, I suppose, as well.
Look, if we need to find one from somewhere. I'm pretty confident Haynes will come and he'll play every game for us, and he'll be earning that $1 million getting peppered down back. But yeah, look, I think he stays. I think one of the other two potentially stays, and my gut feel is Turner.
Jack Marnie, you think he's pretty close to going?
Yeah, look, I'm pretty disappointed that he hasn't really shown much for mine. I don't think he's shown enough for you to keep investing at him. I think the main problem with him is that he doesn't have... what is his defining feature? What's his skill? I don't actually know. He's 177 centimeters. He's 70 kilos, so he's not a big boy. He's 21, so he is, he is young. But I just don't know what he offers us. I don't see where it's coming from. You know, his disposals 8, 11, 8. 12. So he's not averaging a lot of disposals. I understand that's not his role, but I mean, he's tackling, he had one season where he tackled pretty well and then that dropped off a cliff. And the biggest problem is he doesn't kick goals. He hasn't averaged over half a goal a season in his career. So you can't be a small forward who doesn't kick goals, even if you do lay a couple tackles a game. So I just don't see it, which is a bit disappointing because, what was he, like pick 35 or pick 30 or something? He was pretty decent.
Yeah, it was the same draft as Flynn Perez, I think.
I think
they were all
right.
Around each other, him, Condon and Marnie. They're all around the 30s.
I think you're right. That would have been, 2019 or 2020?
Yeah, something like that, 2018, 2019. Yeah, probably 19, I'll say.
I think it would be 19, which... I just don't see what I just don't see what he offers us. I'd rather keep Turner. At least we know that Turner can play a game in a role, you know, different roles. And he probably adds a little bit of leadership at that lower level. Yeah, he was pick 34 in the 19 draft. So we took Common with 31. We overlooked Trent Rivers. We took Jack at 34, Flynn Perez at 35. Keaton Coleman went at 37. That would have been handy. I think he was academy pick. All right. Nick Bryan would have been good. He's a good ruckman. Chad Warner, 39. Oh, God, I'm going to stop reading. Yeah, so that could have gone a lot better. I'd be letting him go.
Yeah, I think Warner was an NGA prospect. So
I hope so.
Yeah, I think so. yeah, like you said, I hope so too.
Nah, he was a waffle player.
Oh, Jesus. it's not getting any better, is it? So, probably stop looking down the list. You probably see the number one, number two AFL player in a competition down there or something like that. So that was down on. Like you said, with Jack Marnie, going back to him, he doesn't have a penetrating kick. He's not fast. At that sort of height and weight, then you've got to really have one of those features like a Brent Harvey did, like he had a lot of speed, or Caleb Daniel, who's got, a penetrating kick. So, yeah, he just doesn't have that one defining feature. So, yeah, I don't know what his ceiling is. If his ceiling is now, then, it's not great at the moment. So he's 21, but he looks 41. It is what it is. Well, Jesse, do you want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, all good, mates. Thanks for having me. Look, it's a really exciting time. As exciting as it can be for the club that finished down the bottom for multiple years. But look, this is the best draft hand that we've had. Last year was good, and we got some great players in. I'm hoping that if we get Reed, that's great. I wouldn't want to not have Reed and pick two or three, though. Because I want to at least bring in three players in that top 10 this year. At a minimum, that's what we need.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have one, two, and three. I think there's pretty much zero chance that happening, I'd have to think. So, West Coast, like that deal we offered, 15, 17, 18, and a future first, I think it was. That's not going to cut it. So, but you can only ask, I guess, Jesse. Anyways, Jesse, thanks very much for coming on. Really appreciate it. We sort of organised this pretty late. So, yeah, appreciate you coming on. I'm sure I'll chat to you next week when we've got more player movement.
No problems. Looking forward to hopefully talking about some big names coming to the club.
So thank you very much to Jesse for coming on the show once again. Yeah, I sort of organised this pretty late, so yeah, I really appreciate him coming on late notice. And thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets and comments you all put out for the show. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. If you can leave a rating and review on your favourite podcast platform you use as well, that would be awesome. So I'm not so sure when I'll be back again. I mean, obviously the girls play Sunday. Good luck to them. I'm sure I'll do a review of their performance probably early next week. So look out for that. But I might even put another show out in the next few days as well. It depends if there's more player movement and so forth. So look out for that. And that's it for tonight. So tonight I will leave a shout out to our two new recruits, Dylan Stevens and Zach Fisher. Bye for now, and go Roos.